Happy Friday, everybody. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you. Our number is always 704-570-1110. Follow us on Twitter at Winterbull Show. That's Winter B-L-E Show. And then, of course, on the Facebook page at the Brett Winterbull Show. I do read messages. I do reply. It's really me. There's not, you know, some team of paid-fors sitting back, answering my tweets and my Facebook. It is really me. You can actually say hello, and I'll say hello back. I am happy to say hello to Mr. Brett Jensen, Breaking Brett Jensen. Follow him on Twitter at Brett_Jensen. Brett Jensen, welcome back to the program. Good to have you here. What is the latest in the world of, well, I hate to say this, academia meets criminality? What is going on here in Charlotte?
Well, I was informed yesterday afternoon about a potential situation involving Olympic High School.
Mm-hmm.
And so I contacted the CMPD this morning, and mid-afternoon, right around noon, CMPD confirmed and sent me the police report, and we were the WBT, we were the first ones to report this and break the news that a girl, a 16-year-old girl, on Monday claims that she was sexually assaulted on campus at Olympic High School. She told police, this happened approximately around Monday at 2 p.m. Inside the hallways, or inside the school building, I should say, at mm-hmm. Olympic High School.
Mm-hmm.
She told police Tuesday morning at 8:45. Police showed up, made the report, and after interviewing the suspect, a 15-year-old boy has been charged with attempted second-degree rape, second-degree kidnapping, and sexual battery.
Wow. That's horrible. Is the individual who's accused in custody, or have they been contacted by law enforcement? What is the state right now? Where are they?
Well, I mean, they were charged. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, obviously they were, because they interviewed the kid and immediately charged him and then immediately took him away.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's 15 years old, he was, you know, taken probably, I assume, to the juvenile detention center,
mm-hmm.
And awaiting, you know, his bond hearing or whatever before a district court, you know, before a judge. That's generally the way it happens. I mean, because it happened right on site, and immediately following the interview on site with the suspect, he was immediately charged.
You have a situation here where it appears that there is increasing criminality taking place. You've documented in the first, now it's 16 days of school, right? Because it was 15 days yesterday. So we've had guns and knives and now an attempted rape take place that's been reported. What are Charlotte Mecklenburg schools doing to, you know, essentially calm the fears of the parents and the students that have to endure these vicious and awful crimes that are taking place on school property?
Well, you know, I will say this. The members of the school board, which are in charge of these policies, I can tell you that with what happened with the gun situation at Myers Park High School,
mm-hmm.
that the board found out, you know, many hours after the fact, late that evening, I should say, and then Wednesday night. And then I can also tell you, in terms of this specific case, even though a report was filed on Tuesday and charges were immediately filed against the boy, I believe, if my sources are correct, that school board members found out late last night or yesterday afternoon,
wow.
You know, 2 days after the fact. And so, but I can also tell you that school board, you know, there are people that are saying that they attribute the increase in violence to kids having been home during the pandemic, and now that they're going back to school, they're still just acting like they're still at home and wandering the streets. And so they're blaming a lot of it on the pandemic.
Yeah, I've seen the same thing be used as an excuse for actual violence in the streets of Charlotte and Mecklenburg County. Saying, well, you know, we're not setting those records like we were last year when everybody was freaking out because of the pandemic. Regardless, these are crimes that should not happen, and there needs to be a better effort at prevention, stopping a young girl or young woman being grabbed in a hallway and being assaulted.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, you know, we don't know if it was a hallway, a closet, a bathroom. We don't know, but
right.
It happened inside the building. And I can also tell you this. just from a statistical standpoint, the reason what you just mentioned earlier does not jive about the pandemic and everything mm-hmm. else, because in 2020, we had a month where you basically weren't allowed to leave your house.
That's right.
And in a month, so basically the record was set in an 11-month time frame instead of a 12-month time frame.
Right.
And because during that, it was like 6 weeks, we weren't allowed to leave our house, basically. And I think there was only one murder in 6 weeks. So think about that. So they made up for the record 120
yeah, right.
other murders in 10 and a half months. But the reason that doesn't work with mm-hmm. the pandemic mm-hmm. is because the previous year, when there wasn't a mm-hmm. pandemic, mm-hmm. we were three murders away from setting an all-time record.
So let me take this back to the issues with criminality in the schools, in the CMS schools. What are we hearing from the school board? Are we declaring? Look, I understand we've declared a health emergency in Charlotte-Mecklenburg because of the Delta variant and all of that. Are we declaring a violence emergency yet in the CMS schools? Because 16 days in, guns, knives, and an attempted rape. I'd say you've got a crisis on your hands, Mr. and Mrs. School Board bosses.
Well, yes, and like I said, I don't know what else. I mean, there are things that they can do, whether it's increase the resource officers, whether it's getting metal detectors, whether it's getting, wands that people can have, and scan over you, like when you're getting ready to walk into a concert, mm-hmm. when they do that to you at the door. There are a lot of different things that they can do. Again, last week when Ernest Winston, the superintendent, held his press conference, he literally only took two questions before leaving. And said that, hey, if you don't, and he quoted an African proverb saying, if you don't help a child, or if you exclude the child when they're a child, they will burn down the village when they're an adult
right.
to keep warm. And so, they're saying, well, we're trying to help children, but, the bad thing is, Brett, I don't know if this is going to go away anytime soon. We are, into this, mm-hmm. and CMS is mirroring the city of Charlotte.
Yep.
That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
They're running parallel with each other when it comes to crime and when it comes to violence. They're running side by side.
It's a big story, and I'm going to continue this conversation on the other side. I appreciate you being here, Brett Jensen. We always appreciate you, and thanks so much for bringing us up to speed on this, and you were the first person to break this out there.
Yeah, but I think about 2 hours.
Yeah,
and
easily.
And I hate that it has to be this
easily.
Story that I'm breaking.
Yeah, but you were alerting people. Yeah, you were alerting people up front. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterble Show. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm piling on CMS. Obviously, there are challenges in school districts across our area and across the country, and there are issues of violence and people bringing guns. But then there's also the issue of idiocy manifesting itself in the schools. Let me give you an example. I came into possession of this note from the Fort Mill School District, and it's a note to the parents, the staff, etc., there at that school, at that district just across the way. It has come to our attention that some of our students are engaging in a new internet trend. Now, I'm curious. I got Josh behind the board here today, so I'm curious if he knows about this thing. The bathroom challenge on TikTok. The bathroom challenge, also known as the devious lick challenge or the bathroom vandalism challenge on TikTok.
Yes, I have heard of this.
Okay. Apparently, these people are encouraging students to post videos of themselves stealing from schools or damaging school property, particularly in bathrooms. The note says, "We hope you will talk to your children about the consequences of damaging school property or stealing from their school. Any student found to be engaging in destruction of school property or stealing from school will be held responsible through the student conduct policy and with local law enforcement officials, depending on the offense. If you or your student witness this type of activity, please report it through the tip line. Vandalism and theft are considered criminal conduct, level 3 offenses, according to district codes. Criminal conduct consequences can include law enforcement, out-of-school suspension, assignment to an alternative school, expulsion, and restitution of property and damages, which will be sought by the school. Additionally," now this tells you the scope of what they're doing. "Additionally, breaking doors off stalls, breaking sinks off the wall, or destroying soap dispensers are dangerous behaviors and could result in an injury. We do not want any of our students or staff to be harmed because of the actions of another individual. We appreciate you taking time to talk it over with your students. That's from the Fort Mill School District. All right. I was party to a number of pranks as a young person, but I never in a million years would have thought ripping doors off of stalls like that. That's insane. You can rip the doors off the stalls. When you're a kid in high school, you want the door on the stall. My high school had no doors on the stalls. And let me tell you, that resulted in very, very quick pooping runs. You know what I'm saying? Because you were just sitting there like you were in a men's prison, and everybody walking into the bathroom could see you having to handle your business. You want to have the stall doors. Trust me, the school will then say at some point, we're just taking all the stall doors. You guys, y'all can do what you want to do right in front of everybody. That's out of control. I mean, this is absolutely out of control. This is out of control and unacceptable. All right, there's something going on right now as we speak on the national level, and that is the Kabul strike that killed 3 adults and 7 children is being described as a tragic and terrible mistake by General Kenneth McKenzie, Commander, U.S. Central Command. You knew him from his most recent hit, which was "The Taliban are professional and are serious." We in the closing days of our wind down of our troops in Kabul, you'll remember, lost 13 of our best. We lost 13 of our best, and so many more were wounded, and Afghans were killed as well. In a suicide bombing, we immediately decided we would hit back and hit back with the fury you'd expect from the United States Armed Forces. And we did. And we struck somebody who had nothing to do with ISIS and who, in fact, was an aid worker. And remember, that was Joe Biden that gave that famous speech. We will not forget. We will not forget. I don't know. He picks up these weird accents when he's not doing this. We will not forget. You got this situation. General McKenzie today said as many as 10 civilians, including up to 7 children, were tragically killed in that strike. We now assess that it was unlikely that the vehicle and those who died were associated with ISIS-K. That's Josh Rogan putting it on Twitter. Remember, it was Silly Millie Vanilli, the man with the right rage himself. General Milley said September 1st, it was a righteous strike because we will not forget. Disgraceful and totally expected. News Talk 1110-993-WBT. News Talk 1110-993-WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show. The Pentagon's conducting a briefing right now on this ongoing story involving the revelation that the military strike that was carried out in Kabul, Afghanistan, ended up killing civilians. And that's a heartbreaking acknowledgement. And I really don't think they're going to be able to do anything to soothe the pain of these people. JD is up next. JD, welcome to the program. What's on your mind? JD?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Go ahead. What's on your mind today, sir?
So as a former military member, I'm really, really pissed about this.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, they just said that they did not have any troops on the ground, so they just basically made a guess. I want every single Congress member and senator who sat there and said, oh, we're killing innocent civilians in Afghanistan, so we need to pull out.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to deliberately call every single military member, the Joint Chief of Staff, to Congress, put them there and said, who ordered this strike without this knowledge? Because number one, these people, our soldiers that were killed with the bombing?
Yes, sir.
There's no justice. What was the justice? Was anybody killed for... Did we get the suicide bombers?
That's right.
No.
That's right.
How do we know the first one wasn't an innocent one? This is the thing. It's just the lying. It's just getting to me really, really badly. It's just the whole lying, especially when there are Americans trapped in Afghanistan.
I know.
I know.
See, this is makes it harder on those Americans.
Harder. And it's, as a former military member, I got a lot of members in the military that I've talked to, and they're really mad about this, too. And it's just, to me, I'm shaking right now.
I can hear it.
How could our beautiful military, Schwarzkopf would never do this. Schwarzkopf would never, never, ever do this. And Miley, this is another reason why he needs to go. Yep. This is another reason why he needs to go. And any congressman, you need to call these people to them, because these are 10 people. 10 people, even children.
Yep.
Even children lives that cannot be brought back. And why? Because we rushed to judgment.
That's right.
Because we had the best military in the world, and we rushed to judgment.
Can I speculate on something? And I'm spitballing here, but I think it would fit the narrative, and it may be the source of this. I wouldn't be surprised if the Taliban didn't give that intel to the military to get them one more little stick in our back. You know what I'm saying? Purposely mistargeting.
This is what I'm scared to, because this is more fuel to the terrorists. Mm-hmm. This is more fuel. This is more fuel for them to do propaganda. And this is why you can't rush to judgment. This is why when you study for a test, you can't do it on the very last night.
That's right. That's right.
And this is what Joe Biden has done. And this is why, God, I mean, I don't like getting mad at our president, but I'm shaking right now.
Oh, yeah.
Former military member. I'm shaking because I've never knew to this day I would see an incompetent military. And then the next thing is, instead of they go right to the point, oh, we're going to bring National Guard troops out for the protest on Saturday.
Right.
How do you know it's going to be violent? Do you really think these people are going to be violent?
Let me ask you a question. What branch were you in?
I was in the Air Force.
You're in the Air Force. And what prompted you to want to be in the Air Force? What prompted you to want to be in the service? What drove you?
Brett, let me tell you something. I had second thoughts when I did that, but at the same time, I was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I want to be out there to protect my fellow countrymen.
Yep. When did you go in?
I was in 2000.
And
to the point, I don't really like saying this.
Yeah.
It gets me really upset. I did have a general discharge because mm-hmm. I did lie to my officer a couple times. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's unfair that I got let go of the military because of this.
Yeah.
And we have a president just lying left and right now.
Yeah.
And that drives me to the core right there.
No, JD, it makes you human, man. It makes you, you're a human being. You served honorably. You did what you did, and you know you've moved on with your life. And the reality is, you're giving voice to a lot of people's frustrations. And so I wouldn't internalize this or take that as being any reflection on you. And
I'm like thinking about the 13 military service members that were killed, and also the 10 innocent victims, and it's. Who's going to be held responsible?
I think the takeaway is this. Here's what I think we can walk away from with this, okay? This is what happens when you rush to do something but not do the right thing. This is what happens when you rush to get a result because you're up against a calendar deadline. And that's what he did. Right.
They tried to cover it up, too.
Right.
But they're saying secondary explosions. There were secondary explosions.
Right.
There were secondary explosions.
Right.
But guess what? The evidence shows there were not. And now it shows it was a cover-up. So who's going to be held responsible? Was Biden part of this?
No.
Who ordered the strike?
Well, that's what we got to find out. It'll end up being Milley, no doubt, I'm sure. We will stay on this story, I promise you, JD. Listen, take a deep breath. You're a great call. Call back anytime, all right, man? We really appreciate your insights. All right, that's JD. Very emotional and understandably so. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. I've got a great treat for you coming up after the top of the hour. I've got somebody in studio whose work I have greatly admired, and he's got a ton of local connections right here, obviously, as well. Hogan Gidley's in the house, and we're going to dive into a bunch of great stuff and talk to folks. It's going to be wonderful. In fact, I want to give you just a quick 2-second preview with you real quick, Hogan, if I can. Welcome to Charlotte. Welcome to WBT.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Enthusiasm level. I don't want to give away too much yet, but enthusiasm level out there as you're traveling the country talking to people. What are you seeing?
Never seen anything like this in my entire life. And I've been in politics now 22 years. Mm-hmm. People are so upset and so angry, and they have every right to be. Mm-hmm. And the level of engagement now that we're seeing in conservatism at the local levels of government, all the way down to these school board meetings, mm-hmm. to the precinct levels. I'll talk about some of the things we're doing in Virginia in the votes over there with the election integrity stuff. It is unbelievable how engaged people are, how excited people are. They want their country back, and they're not going to let it be taken from them.
All right, one quick other question. Did, in all of your worst-case scenarios in your mind, did you think it would get this bad this fast?
Not even close. No way. Joe Biden's a buffoon. I think we all know that. We've known it for the better part of half of a century at this point. Mm-hmm. But I never thought he'd be... Look, every president is tested. That's not unique. Yeah. What's unique is that this guy has failed every single test he's faced. Mm-hmm. That's something I've never seen before. I mean, domestically, internationally, he's got serious problems. He doesn't know where he is half the time. He doesn't know what he's doing ever.
Right.
And we've got to get to the elections in a hurry so we can fix things.
He put a 12:20 lid on today. He was out at 12:20 today.
Well, that's half a day. Give him a. That's a whole half day work. It's Friday. It's like Friday. It's one of those summer Fridays.
It's a summer Friday. All right, Hogan Gidley's going to be here. He's going to hang out with me. We may put Mike Watley on the mic, too, as well, because we want to get a perspective of how this fight is all going all the way around. So he's getting set up, and we're going to have a great conversation here. Let me quickly grab just a couple calls here. Let me get Tara. Tara, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'm in my car. I'm sorry if this doesn't sound good. Here's the deal. You know, my husband is in high school administration, not at CMS. My kids went through CMS. So we're wondering what's happening with these kids. We've been bombarded for 2 years. Hate America, hate police,
yep.
Hate white people, hate any kind of authority. Mm-hmm. I think half these high schoolers have been left alone with no parental.
Yep.
Nobody gives a you-know-what.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care about America. And this is what's happening. And they are just flipping the middle finger at the law, at America, and at teachers, and it's out of control.
Yeah, look,
and nobody cares.
Social justice is much more important than education, than good citizenship, or any of those sorts of things. This is about a slow motion revolution.
You got to be woke.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's the most important thing with Hollywood.
Yeah, oh, of course. Unless you're Nicki Minaj, and then they put you out on the out in Siberia. All right, Tara, I appreciate you being there. Let's go Gene next. Gene, welcome to the program.
Hello, Brett. I'm a longtime listener. Thank you. You're the best they've had there since Jason Lewis.
Oh, thank you very much.
Sure. I just want to comment on all this stuff. The overall big picture from what I see, and I watch and listen to the news constantly.
Yes, sir.
I'm a conservative. I mean, it's in my face. I mean, I don't have to say... Like another caller might say, Joe Biden's a buffoon and stuff. He's there doing what they want him to do.
Right.
You know, none of this is by accident. I recall a distinct quote from Franklin Delano Roosevelt. FDR said, nothing in politics happens by accident. It's all planned.
Of course. Of course. That's absolutely right. Now, here's the thing, though. Did you think Biden would go bad this quickly?
Well, why not?
Yeah.
Who's going to stop him? The FBI is on his side, the Department of Justice, the CIA, the State Department, mm-hmm. and all the media. They're all 100% one party.
Well, I think I think it's cracking a little bit, though. I think there is a substantial rebuttal going in the opposite direction, and they don't have that monopoly on the media anymore. In fact, you know, one of the things we ought to think about is, and I was thinking about this just a few minutes ago, the absence of the presence of Rush, right? Who was this unifying sort of message carrier and philosopher, and he was a one of a kind person out there. People would tune in at 12 noon and say, okay, what's he talking about today? What's going to be the big thing? And I think the conservatives are doing a great job staying on message. It may be differentiated topics that they're covering at a given day, but the message is still there. This Washington, D.C. solution to every problem that ails you is not the answer. You don't need to spend $5 trillion because we know that's what it's going to cost. We don't need to do a $70 trillion Green New Deal. I mean, if you want to control and you want to handle climate change, why do you have to send the government money? I mean, it's foolishness. But these folks, I'm telling you, they're going to keep selling this. And what they're selling is a box of broken whatever, rotting fish, whatever you want to try to sell door to door. And when you look at what's happening, particularly in Texas right now, where you've got 10, 12,000 illegal migrants who have crossed into the state of Texas living under a bridge. I mean, if you took a shot of that, the way you saw it earlier today or last night, that right there, that shot could represent all of the Biden-Harris agenda.
all of it. Poverty, uncertainty, instability, a lack of a controlled border, and a nation in peril. Hogan Gidley comes up next. I'm Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Happy to be here with you on a Friday, and there's nobody I'd rather spend my time with this afternoon than my next guest. You heard from him a little bit in the last hour, gave you a little tease. He's the director of the Center for Election Integrity. He was the former National Press Secretary for President Trump's administration and a White House professional. Hogan Gidley, welcome to the show. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the time.
You know, we visited a whole bunch during the reelect. I mean, we were mm-hmm. visiting on a pretty regular basis. It's great to have you here in studio. And I look, everybody was let down with what happened in January, right? Everybody was let down to see that administration end and to see this new administration come in here. But what never failed was the energy and the commitment that conservatives, independents, what have you, had with them to continue this fight. People are fired up.
They really are. And you see that when Donald Trump still goes out to this day getting tens of thousands of people, when the sitting president, Joe Biden, can't get, you know, a handful of folks to show up at anything he does. And most of those are staffers. When they do have a crowd, he gets booed on the way to things. People are excited and people are fired up because they remember how Donald Trump put them first. Mm-hmm. They remember how Donald Trump's policies made their lives better, regardless of race, religion, color, or creed. That's what he did. And, you know, I think in typical years, we feel dejected after a campaign. You lose, and people kind of feel a little downtrodden. And, you know, I'm just going to throw up my hands and let it go for a little bit. People got more engaged after this. And one of the reasons I feel that's the case is because when you see what Joe Biden's doing, and how badly he's hurting this country, how bad he's hurting our businesses, mm-hmm. how bad he's hurting our families, the American people. It was one big, we were right. We were right about that. We knew that was going to happen. And it fires us up to say, no, you're not going to take our country from us. We know where we want this country to go. Mm-hmm. We were in a position of power globally. We had record-setting employment in this country for African-Americans and Asian-Americans and Hispanic-Americans and women. We were moving in a direction we'd not seen in decades. People like that success. They like to be feared, loved, and respected on a national stage as opposed to being mocked and the laughingstock of the world like Joe Biden has made us after Afghanistan and other gaffes where he's having to be led around NATO summits or whatever he's doing with a staffer holding him. So I'm telling you, people are fired up. I've never seen the engagement like this before, and I'm really excited for the future.
One of the things that strikes me is to go back to the Chris Wallace debate and the subsequent, the other debates that took place, was this idea that Joe Biden was selling himself as he's going to be president of all the people and was compassionate and caring. That's not a man who gives the speech that we saw last week with, I've had it with you people. It's a pandemic of the unvaxxed. It's this, it's that. It's America's fault. We never heard President Trump once blamed the American people.
Absolutely not. And Joe Biden said his patience was thin.
That's what it was.
Well, yeah, my patience is pretty thin, too. And I think the American people's patience is running pretty thin. The fact that we don't have a southern border. Mm-hmm. We don't have a country anymore when you're seeing over a million people pour into this country. The images that only Fox News is showing, by the way, right now. Newsmax is showing it. OAN, some others. But no one else is even pointing out the fact that we're losing it down there. And Joe Biden comes out and says, you have to be vaccinated, but we're going to bring in people from Afghanistan who haven't been vetted for terrorism, by the way, much less the virus. Let them into the country. Let these people pouring across our southern border illegally and unlawfully into the country without vaccinated. But by the way, you have to get the vaccine because, hey, it works. It's good. It'll protect you. But also, the unvaccinated have to get it, too, because if you're vaccinated, the unvaccinated could kill you. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. Does it protect me or does it not protect me? It makes no sense from a logical standpoint. The people are fed up with it. And you want to know whose patience is wearing thin? It's all of us out here who are feeling the negative effects of these horrible policies that we're taking it in the teeth with this inflation where goods and services are going through the roof. Yep. I mentioned crime spiking all over this country as well. Mm-hmm. The southern border, again, Afghanistan, COVID. He said he was going to not shut down the country. He was going to shut down the virus. Now he's trying to shut down the country and all of our livelihoods. It's insane, but I really do believe the American people see it. Mm-hmm. They're upset. They're angry, but they're energized and wanting to get engaged into the process.
And never, at least in our memory, maybe of all time, have you seen so many systems fail at the exact same time. The foreign policy is failing. The border security is failing. The economy is failing. Hope, things like that. It's all out the window. And the prescription is Green New Deal, $70 trillion. $5 trillion, court packing, we need to do all this sort of stuff. And now you are the head of the Center for Election Integrity, and we know that we've got that monstrosity of a bill making its way through the Senate,
sure,
which would federalize elections. We'd have to go Mother May I to district and redistrict. This is terrible.
It's really bad. And look, every incoming president faces challenges. Every incoming president is tested. That's not unique. What's unique is the fact that Joe Biden has failed every single one of the tests,
right,
both globally, internationally, and here at home domestically. I mean, if Nancy Pelosi, the same people who told you Joe Biden did a good job in Afghanistan, mm-hmm, the same government that said they had no idea after 20 years on the ground that Afghanistan would fall this soon, that same group, mm-hmm, says now we want $5 trillion more of your dollars because, right, we can spend it better. Oh, and by the way, we also think we can run elections better. What are you, insane? That's impossible to even fathom. And some people on the left are really, believing their own nonsense and pushing this behemoth power grab, not just with the money, but trying to take over our election system.
Right.
What works in North Carolina doesn't work in North Dakota. What works in Mississippi doesn't work in Massachusetts or Montana or Maine. That's why we believe in the state system. And so one of the things we're trying to do at the center is really take it down to the local level. We've seen the engagement with critical race theory,
yep,
how these teachers are coming out and saying, no more. You are not teaching my child these lies that America is somehow racist, root to stem, that we're the cause of the world's problems, the reason for all the evil in the world. We're not going to do that anymore. The same thing applies here. Election integrity is the number one issue by polling I've seen all the way across the country, because people are saying, look, we want our policies enacted. We believe in certain things, whether it's guns or life or whatever it may be. You're never going to get those things done unless you get the right people in office. And the right people ain't ever going to be in office.
That's right.
If they don't win elections. And you can't win elections if they're not free, fair, and honest. And so going into the local levels, making sure states pass laws that protect every legal voter,
yep,
and every legally cast vote.
Hogan Gidley's my guest. Stick around for one more segment with
me? Sure.
All right, let's hang out some more. That's Hogan Gidley. I'm Brett Winterble News. It is the Brett Winterble Show, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Continuing our conversation with Hogan Gidley, who joins us here. He's the director of the Center for Election Integrity. A lot of people in the audience are very enthusiastic about working on election integrity issues. Where do they get in touch with you and the work you're doing?
Yeah, look, Center for Election Integrity, so the first letter of each three words, so it's CEI. .AmericaFirstPolicy.com. CEI.AmericaFirstPolicy.com.
Right.
And you can sign up there to get some information. You can sign up to volunteer. We need people all over the country. We have folks pouring in who want to help and have witnessed things in their own counties, witnessed things in their precincts. Their own ballots were messed up.
Mm-hmm.
People are furious, and they don't like what happened in California, obviously, is kind of bringing it back up. But as we move closer and closer to 2022, get through the fall of this year, and these sessions start firing back up at the first of the year in all the states, they're going to want to see some really solid election laws that are all common sense,
right,
that they know will protect them and give them some level of faith and trust and confidence in the elections, which, quite frankly, has been going downhill since the Florida debacle in 2000.
For sure. Absolutely. I mean, just to be clear, I need ID to get the vaccine, but I don't need ID to vote.
It's even worse. So New York has the vaccine passports to go into a restaurant.
Right.
The New York Democrats said you have to also show a picture ID because, ready for this, quote unquote, it prevents fraud.
Oh my gosh.
You're telling me. Yeah, I know a photo ID prevents fraud. Now let's Now do elections.
Yeah.
And they're like, nope, sorry, that's racist. You can't do that. That's too much of a burden on us. But you're making people show two pieces of identification to go out to eat, one of which is a photo ID. The whole thing is on its head, but I think the American people are wising up, and they're wising up in a hurry.
In terms of the election integrity issue, what is the thing that kind of keeps you awake at night? What, maybe it's something that they're exploiting that we might not be necessarily paying close attention
to. Well, I'll go back to the great president we all know and love, Jimmy Carter. That guy who was a failure joined with Jim Baker and wrote a paper about how mail-in ballots were a big problem. Barack Obama said they were a problem. Mm-hmm. And look, this is a nonpartisan effort. And I saw Congresswoman Bass the other day point out the fact that Democrats never complain about election integrity. And I was like, where have you been the last 4 years? Chuck Schumer tweeted more than 50 times about the need for election integrity. The great Kamala Harris even came out and said, we have to secure our elections now, all after 2016, of course.
Right.
But the issue doesn't go away just because you've perceived to have won an election. Mm-hmm. It still matters to the American people. And so for me, it's that mass mail-in ballot where you and I were talking off air. I got a ballot in the 2020 election in my apartment in Washington, D.C., had to call my landlord, and my landlord said the guy hadn't lived there in 10 years. I posted on Twitter. Twitter kicks me off for the day. This was during an election, during a debate, by the way, so the press secretary for the campaign can't comment or quote things on Twitter that day because they took me down saying I was spreading misinformation. Misinformation? The ballot was in my possession. It wasn't me.
Right.
That's just a fact. So I think the mass mail-in thing is what keeps me up at night.
You actually secured the ballot because somebody who wanted to commit fraud could have exploited the ballot.
That's exactly right.
You were doing a public service.
That's right.
I got Mike Watley here as well from the North Carolina Republican Party. So you've got a big event coming up at the Rutherford County Lincoln Dinner. That's going to be tonight?
Yeah, so Hogan and I are gonna hop out of the studio and in the truck and head on down to Rutherford County.
Very nice.
Very excited to be joining Virginia Fox and Mark Robinson, a great group of volunteers that we've got down in Rutherford County.
And then tomorrow, Freedom House South End Protect the Ballot Workshop is going to be happening here, right?
Yeah, so the North Carolina Republican Party is putting together a series of events all around the state, Protect the Ballot Workshops, because as Hogan said, we've got so much enthusiasm and so many people that want to come and help, right?
Right.
And so the biggest thing that we need to do that we did really well last cycle, but we need to continue with, is get the volunteers in and trained, get the lawyers in and trained. So we're setting up these workshops. It's going to be 10 o'clock to 11:30 tomorrow at Freedom House South End. We're pretty excited to have Hogan here to help kick this whole series off with
us.
You know, because when we look at in North Carolina, we did a pretty good job last cycle.
For sure.
Right? But we know we need to do more. And it just is, we've created an election integrity committee. We're working on making sure that the processes we've got in place are going to be there. You know, 90% of election integrity is having the right machines,
right,
which thankfully we've got here in North Carolina. They can't connect to the internet. They're made in the U.S. and they got paper ballots.
Right.
And then you have to have observers and lawyers in the room. And we did that last cycle, but we got to keep it up. And, you know, if we had had those same things taking place in Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, I think we'd be having an entirely different discussion.
Yeah.
So it's really important what Hogan and the America First Policy Institute is doing. We're working around the country and partnering up with state parties like us to make sure that we're bringing in those volunteers. We got to get them signed up.
And where do they sign up to be part of this event tomorrow?
They can go to nc.gop or ncgop.org.
Great stuff. Appreciate you being here, Michael.
Yes, sir.
And I told him the only way I was coming was if I did not have to follow Mark Robinson speak. I've heard him. He's so good and so incredible. And I met him on multiple occasions. Could not be a better man.
Yep.
And I said, I'll come, but I'm not speaking after him. I'll speak before him, because once he speaks, the room's on fire. I don't have anything to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, he comes out, he owns the stage. He's got just such an electricity about him. You worked with somebody who had a lot of electricity about him as well, former President Donald Trump. And just in our last minute or so, Hogan, I just would ask you to kind of reflect back and think, is there a time, a moment that you shared with him or that you saw something that sticks with you to motivate you to this moment?
Well, so many really do stick out. I was thinking about so many of the things I wanted to share with the crowd tonight in Rutherford County, but one story I'll tell you that's funny, that's not necessarily poignant, but funny, and this is how he did things.
Yeah.
We were working with Bolsonaro from Brazil,
sure,
and we were having one of the bilateral agreements, and once the press leaves is when we all get down to business.
Mm-hmm.
And the press leaves, and the president says, okay, what are you guys looking for? And Bolsonaro says, look, we have all these great things we can work with the United States on, trade and everything. Let's make it better. And he says, you know, we have the Amazon. It's got rare earth and all this, and kind of keeps going. And just the president cuts him off and says, no, I don't like the Amazon. And you can see, like, the John Boltons and everyone just like, what? That's what they've got. And you're telling him you don't like it? I mean, it was just like deadpan scary. And I just knew he was setting him up for something. The president and Bolsonaro said, I'm sorry, Mr. President, what'd you say? He goes, I don't like the Amazon. And he says, why? And he goes, it's too many snakes. I don't like the snakes. And Bolsonaro just loses it and starts laughing. And he softened him up with a joke. And then right. they worked together. And he was able to build those relationships. We were in Biarritz, France. China pulls out of a massive agreement they'd never had with the United States of buying a lot of our products, our soybeans, right. Dairy. And they pull out. He pulls Abe off to the side and says, you buy him. Let's work out a deal. They go into a room. 15 minutes later, we're making a blockbuster announcement with Japan.
Wow.
That's what the guy did, and he did it for us. He didn't have to do that for his own wealth. He had plenty of money.
Sure.
He came in and said, I'm rich, now I want to make you rich.
Right.
Let's work together to make it happen. And he went, he did a lot of things to protect the people of this country and yeah. to build up not just our economy, but our national pride again that we'd lost for so many years. So, you know, it was amazing to work for him, amazing to work with him. And I still talked to him on the phone. I talked to him just a couple of days ago, and he's still just the same. He's so fired up and so funny. And he just cares about the country. He's not, can you believe Joe Biden? He's like, can you believe what the people are having to suffer? I mean, that's the way he thinks in his head. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's just a real, real blessing to have worked there.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. It was nice of Hogan Gidley to spend a couple of segments with us. And certainly, you know, I wanted to throw this open to you, and please feel free to tell me if you disagree. Are you as fired up now? I'm assuming, like, a lot of the folks who listen to this program are conservatives or independents that lean sort of right. But even if you're a Democrat, Republican, whatever, I'm just kind of curious to hear your level of enthusiasm. If you're a Democrat and you're feeling like, okay, the president's had a few challenges, but we certainly want to get into this fight. I'd love to hear from you and get your thoughts on that. I mean, it is Friday. We can talk about a lot of different things. But also for the conservatives, for the independents, libertarians, you know, are you still feeling energized and engaged as well, the way Hogan Gidley was talking? Because you know, it's easy to get demoralized for a lot of reasons. Like, sometimes you can get demoralized because an election doesn't go your way or an issue doesn't go your way. I heard from a lot of people in the last 3 or 4 days how disappointed they were that Gavin Newsom wasn't recalled in California. And they said, you know, it's over, it's done, you can't, it's forget it, you've got no chance. The reality is, elections are going to ebb and flow, and you're never going to have the sort of turnout that you're going to have like in a 2020 race, right? In a big time, hard fought, contested presidential election. The next closest thing to that that you're going to have would be something that's contested in terms of the, you know, in terms of an off year race where you get a Senate race, a congressional fight, you know, control of that sort of stuff. But I'm just curious to know the level of enthusiasm that you have right now, and the way you're looking at the challenges in front of us. You know, one of the things we didn't even really get into was that speech that President Biden gave yesterday to try to urge support for his economic Build Back Better plan. And one of those things that he talked about, and I was shocked by it, that he said the idea of turning over your banking information to the federal government because they want to see how much you put in your bank and how much you spent so they can figure out how much to tax you. Because, you know, he was trying to say that the wealthy don't pay taxes and that the only people who pay income tax because they get W-2s are the people who are paying the taxes, which is foolishness. Now, let me just say something here. When you get into, you know, the carried interest and the hedge fund stuff, you know, that's certainly an argument that can go back and forth. But, you know, this president wants to desperately raise the capital gains tax. And one part of this, I did not know about this until this morning when I was listening to CNBC and Joe Kernan and a couple of the other folks were kicking this idea around very early this morning. Do you know that Joe Biden wants to raise the capital gains taxes and make them retroactive to April of this year? Retroactive. Wants to make them retroactive to April of this year. The Democrats want to make it retroactive to September 13th of this year. So what that would mean is if you sold a business or you sold stock or you did anything that resulted in a gain of capital, a capital gain from you,
they're going to want to then tax you. It's not like, hey, it kicks in January. This thing kicks in now this year. That's how much they want to get at your money. So maybe that gets you enthusiastic. 704-570-1110. Let me grab this call first. This is Richard joining us. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well.
My enthusiasm is through the roof. It's just that I'm afraid with the mail-in ballots, if they cheat, we can have all the enthusiasm in the world, but if there's no integrity in the vote, we're done.
Well, that's true. Look, voter integrity is a huge issue. North Carolina did a really good job of managing that. That's what Mike Whatley was talking about with having the right sort of equipment in there to vote, having, you know, not connected to the internet, having paper ballots, and then, of course, having people who could challenge at a variety of levels in these different precincts. And that's an important thing. Is it the mail-in ballots that gets you the most spooked on this, Richard?
Oh, yeah, the mail-in ballots, as well as you know, the open borders, and they're looking to allow those people to vote, prisoners and so on and so forth. So we know that they don't play fair, and we have to be able to block them in their corrupt method to just gain power.
Yeah, it's going to be a fight that we're all going to be a part of. Let me ask you the same thing I asked Hogan Gidley at the very beginning of our conversation. Did you think it would go this bad this fast?
No, I did not. Yeah. This is astonishing.
Yeah, I didn't either. I honestly didn't either. It's a shocking turn, and it's a test of all of our resolve, man. I appreciate you being out there.
Can I say one more?
Yeah, please go ahead.
And that shows, unfortunately, how weak. We're just weak, and the Republicans are weak, and people are just like sheep, and we're just going along with it.
Well, I think there's truth to that, but I also think, to be honest, and I'm gonna be as nonpartisan as I can. I think everybody's got a lot of extra mileage on our tires because of what everybody's gone through for the last year and a half. You know, with the COVID and the craziness and the lockdowns and I think everybody is about on their last nerve.
Yeah. Good point.
Appreciate you being out there, buddy. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterble Show. Listening to Bill O'Reilly there mentioning Woody's, I want to shout out Woody's. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I went to their newest location, which is actually in Fort Mill, to get a vehicle repair done. And they did an amazing job. We paid full, but we did everything right. But let me just tell you something right now. They are great people. They are great people. My son's truck needed a repair, and they knocked it out in nothing flat, and he's happily back on the roads, which is just so great. So I just want to thank Dwayne over there at Woody's in Fort Mill and his great team for their hard work. They really are great people. And I just wanted to recognize really good service because they're amazing. Let me go out on the phones and talk to, oh, no, David, real David. Your enthusiasm is low, David? What's going on?
Well, I got to start out by saying thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, sir.
And also, you're doing a really good job. I appreciate the work that you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
As far as the optimism level, I gotta be honest. I'm on the pessimistic side. Mm-hmm. I see no way out of this. I mean, we sat for several years, or at least a couple of years, and watched the laws being changed mm-hmm. for voting. We watch as far as setting up the circumstances and boundaries for voting, we sat on our hands and did nothing.
Yep.
And then we scratch our head and wonder why the election came out the way it did. I mean, give me something to look forward to here, because I really don't see anything. It seems like they found the recipe to secure what they have, and it's going to continue. I see no way around it, Brett.
Okay, so let me give you a couple optimistic pictures. We have to remember that the last election was handled based upon the circumstances of COVID, right? So you had massive mail-out ballots to everybody. Number two, it was also based on districts that existed in 2020 but will not exist in 2022 because there's going to be redistricting because populations have shifted. And so there are going to be more voters in, say, North Carolina and South Carolina than there were in the prior period. There will be fewer voters in those blue states because many of them have left and moved to other places. So that's one aspect of being optimistic. Number two, let me be absolutely honest, ask you this question. Do you think if you voted for Biden and Harris, or Roy Cooper. Do you think those voters are enthusiastic about the job that's being done, or do you think they might be a little demoralized?
I got to be honest with you. It doesn't matter to them because they'll keep them in office.
No. See, I don't. Yeah, but remember, Biden and Harris are not. They're not on the ballot in 22, right? So it's an off-year election that tends to favor the out party. We saw what happened in 2018, for example, right? What happened in 2018 when the left went nuts and took over a bunch of seats. I think that they are demoralized, and it's going to be hard to get people out to go and, you know, validate what those folks are doing. And I think you've got people who are really ramped up and ready. And you know what else you got to remember? Every year you get another group of kids that are eligible to vote. And this group of kids that are coming up out of high school that are going to be eligible to vote in 22, they are people who saw an incredible economy get absolutely cratered right before they were heading off into college. And so I think a lot of this stuff is going to drive the passions. I could be totally wrong, but I think we got to think the glass may not be totally full, but I think it may be, I don't know, three quarters full.
Yeah, you know, I hope you're right. I really do. You know a lot more about this stuff than I do. But, you know, I look at the last business with Cooper. I look at this stuff in California with what's his name. And it's like, you know, no matter how bad or how disliked or how much they run everything into the ground, they stay. And it's like, how does this happen time and time again?
All right.
You know, and I can't see the same thing happen in 2024. I really do.
All right. I'll put a smile on your face. You ready for the smile?
Yes.
You got rid of Cuomo?
And I am from Buffalo, New York.
So there you go. And Bill's Mafia. You got Bill's Mafia and you got rid of Cuomo. You hit the lottery.
Well, I appreciate that, Brett. Right. Thank you very much, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, David. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and call back anytime. I just love it. The Lollercopter is commenting on my Twitter, and they say the first word in your bio is God, but you spend your day lying to spread the hate and trying to profit off of it. You have no idea who God. No, I do know who God is. At the Lollercopter. Lollercopter only has 120 followers. You may want to go and follow the Lollercopter, L-O-L-E-R copter, and say hello for me. I do have God as the first phrase in my Twitter, by the way. I'm not ashamed of that. In fact, it says God, family, Bill of Rights, country, and opinions are my own. That's it. That's where we're at. Sorry. I mean, that's just how it is. Stan, my man. Stan, what's on your mind today, sir?
Yeah, I want to talk with you about the bank accounts.
Holy cow, is that crazy? That is crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. Well, I'm going to tell you what the ultimate goal is, and I'm going to tell you how we can actually fight against it. First, the ultimate goal, I think, is that they will just do your tax return for you.
Yes, they will.
I mean, in other words, they will just basically look at what kind of business, and they'll just do it like property taxes, and if you think they're charging you too much, you have to file to change it.
In other words,
it's like you're having to prove that you're innocent rather than them having to prove you're guilty, and so it would definitely violate your due process rights along those lines. But here's how you can fight back, and I think that where we're headed is that cryptocurrencies weren't created just because they're cool. They're created because people are getting upset with the way governments are handling currencies.
Yes.
And those are market-based currencies. And there's ways to keep that private. And I think that's where people have to head because they can't, and right now they're trying to regulate them. But I don't think they can because you'd be able to claim all kinds of rights, due process rights, privacy rights, and get all those cases in court because I don't think we're going to keep our constitutional rights unless we demand them and fight back.
So let me ask you, you're a smart guy, you know business, right? Here's my question for you. When Hunter files his taxes, are those paintings income or capital gains?
Let me ask you another different question. I'm going to ask you, phrase it this way.
Please, go ahead.
Let's say I inherit a Model T from my parents. I don't like cars.
Right.
You inherit a green piano. You don't like that. So we swap. Was either one of those income?
That's bartered goods. I think there's barter. Isn't there bartered goods on the tax returns? I think
right, there. Right. Well, so here's my question then: if I go work for somebody and I exchange my labor for what they give me, is that income?
Yes, no. That is income. No, your labor in exchange for money is income.
Well, I think the Supreme Court in two instances ruled that it was a corporate profit when they were asked.
Well, oh, if you're incorporated, you could say that.
Right, yeah. So here's my question then. In other words, the income tax can stay.
Yeah.
But if we keep our privacy rights, if we keep our privacy rights, due process rights, and our Fifth Amendment rights, there's no enforcement mechanism.
Oh, that's right. Now, hold on. Let me jump on that real quick, okay? Because I'm right up against it, but I'm going to say one last thing to you, Stan. I believe in 2023, I'm going 23 now, okay? We need a convention of states. Convention.
Yes.
Number one. Number two, we got to go to a fair tax. We got it.
Yes,
we got 100%. It. If we could put that in place, we could completely unemploy the IRS. All right. And we go to a fair tax where everybody just pays the sales tax on whatever it is you buy. And you want to buy that Model T, you pay the sales tax. The government gets the proceeds. I'm sick and tired of the income tax. It's an outdated idea.
Yes, it is.
Thanks, Stan. Appreciate you being out there. We'll take more of your. I'm serious. Convention of States in 23. I'm starting to push for it now. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Wonderful to be here with you. It's a beautiful Friday. And our phone number is always 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is good stuff over here at WBT. Oh, the trolls are out. It's been so long since the trolls came out. The trolls are out on Twitter. They're triggered. We've triggered the trolls. We've triggered them all. It is great to be with you guys today on the program. So later on this hour, we're going to have Bo Thompson come by and spend time with us. No doubt, you've seen this new film that's coming out. You've seen it advertised, The Eyes of Tammy Faye. And it's about, obviously, it's about the scandal of the PTL that took place. It is, it's now been released. And so many of you in this audience remember that time period and remember what it was that was happening in the backstory that ran up to that scandal. And here is the question that I find myself pondering, because we've lived a lot of life and we've looked at a lot of different stories that are out there in the world and scandals and sagas. And it seems to me that when there is a failing, particularly of a community of faith, a person of faith, a faith-based organization, whether it's the Catholic Church and the sex scandals, whether it's what you saw take place with Jerry Falwell Jr. and with the PTL and this sort of stuff, that the secular left takes great pleasure in seeing people who have fallen. They take great pleasure in watching people who have fallen suffer as a result of that. And I understand hypocrisy is a terrible, terrible thing to live under, to live with. But there's a particular joy when it's people of faith that are coming up short, that you see from the broader secular media, by the broader political culture. And these are the same people who will tell you that, for example, the notion of abortion up to and including even infanticide, which was a bill that Andrew Cuomo signed and that Ralph Northam pushed in the state of Virginia, Commonwealth of Virginia. They will think nothing of standing alongside that sort of policy, public policy, while at the same time condemning people who may come up short. And it's not so much that it's about Tammy Faye or Baker himself, Jim Baker himself, or Jerry Falwell Jr. or any of that. It's about targeting and getting like a big ha-ha out at the communities that are then affected by this. And I think it's just very interesting to see the power that faith carries with it, that it conveys with it, that the only response you have is an attempt to demoralize or to deject the people who practice it. And it's always struck me as curious when you see people who are people of faith, and maybe they have their faith tested, the way it is that many in the popular culture will celebrate that moment of crisis. And you want to say to them, wait, okay, so clearly you don't believe what we believe. Why does what we believe affect you? How does it affect you? If I carry a religious belief in my heart, in my soul, what does it matter to you? Why does it get you so jazzed that you want to set us off or set me off or come and attack my faith? It's one of those curious things. It's one of those curious things, and I oftentimes wonder about it. So I'm just curious if you have a thought on what it means to have faith tested and what it has to do in terms of the impact on your life. You know, can you be so shaken that you almost become, you know, dejected or demoralized? It's one of those things. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Oh, no. What do we know, man? You're like 3 minutes early on that sound. You're going to freak out. You're going to freak out Boomer Von Cannon. Let's go out. I want to talk to, Robert. Hello, Robert. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brett. Appreciate you taking my phone call.
Thank you.
Back to Jim Baker. Mm-hmm. Back in 1989, I was working downtown right across from the courthouse there. And, of course, there was newspaper from all over the world.
Yep.
Over there. And just so happened that one day when they brought him into court, I was downtown having lunch and came back toward my office, heard all this commotion, and I saw them bring Jim Baker out of the courthouse in an orange jumpsuit.
Right.
With shackles on his feet and his arms and his hair all disheveled and all that. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, all for the love of money here. You know, this is where this has gotten him.
Yep.
And it was a sad set of circumstances and all that. And but why people bask in the glory of seeing somebody fall like that, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's kind of the Tiger Woods syndrome also.
That's a good point.
Built the old Tiger up, and next thing you know, when he fell, they were all kind of laughing at him. But wanted to get your take on this news that came out today about the FDA rejecting this booster shot.
Right.
Where do you think this is going to lead? You think another 6 months or so they're going to bring this thing back out and try to get everybody to take it, or what?
It's interesting because not only did they reject the booster, it sounds like the language that they used in rejecting it was that, hey, what you have is enough. Like, you're okay, which causes me to ask the obvious question: what was this that they were pushing out of the White House 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when the president was saying, yeah, you got to go get ready, it's going to happen, it's coming? Who greenlit that inside the White House? Obviously, the FDA wasn't on board, and it's going to undercut the credibility of people inside the White House that were telling us 2-3 weeks ago to get ready for the booster shots.
Right, and I think this all adds up now as to why these big shots within the FDA ended up quitting a couple weeks ago and all that. So this will be interesting to see where this all leads to. And as always, you have a great show, Brett. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you being there, Robert. You call back anytime. That, you know, that memory that he was talking about with Jim Baker in the orange jumpsuit, that became the iconic photograph, if you remember the coverage of that. And I remember it enough it was burned in my mind. That photograph is the iconic picture of that moment when they're basically taking him out on a chain gang, but it's not a chain gang. He's in the orange and his hair's and he's obviously in great deal of distress. He's yelling and screaming. He's upset. That became the image of that scandal in so many ways. It's unbelievable. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Bo Thompson joins us now. He is the host of the Bo Thompson Morning Show. How are you, Bo Thompson?
Happy Friday. Happy weekend.
Happy weekend. Happy Friday to you, my friend. How are you today?
I'm good. Always good talking to you.
You know, there's a lot of stuff going on out there in this big, bad, crazy world of ours. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the different storylines out there. But I want to dive into one of them specifically here real quick, if I can. And it is the issue of the rejection by the FDA of the booster shot. This seems very surprising, given the hard sell we were getting just a couple of weeks ago from the Biden administration.
It does. I was surprised to see that, too. It sort of makes the whole state that we're in right now that much more gray, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, you're hearing about breakthrough cases. You're hearing about, the need to still wear masks, even though you've been vaccinated. And you're hearing about all the worst-case scenarios. And then you hear today that, okay, hang on, pump the brakes, back off. The general population doesn't need it. Like you said, not what I was expecting.
No, it's not. And the question now becomes, well, if the FDA says no to it now, Who was saying yes to it 2 weeks ago that told the president to go out there and say it?
Yeah, and this is a, I mean, we've sort of seen this before on a grander scale, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, going out and trumpeting that it's over on July 4th, a month later, you're walking that back, and now you're sort of, it's like a mini walk back now.
That's right, and but remember, you were allowed to have a hot dog on the 4th of July.
That is true. Well, I mean, and if you were in a contest, you could have several.
Okay, Joey Chestnut. How many? Did we ever figure out how many hours it took off his life with all those hot dogs he eats?
No, but I you know what? That's an excellent point. I never thought about it that way. I didn't connect those two stories. But you know, he must be like minus 15.
It's true. It's true. All right, I'm going to hit something that's serious. That's a local serious issue. Over in Fort Mill, a letter goes out from the Fort Mill School District, warning parents that some of the students are engaging in a new internet trend. You know, it's always bad when it comes from TikTok. The bathroom challenge, also known as the devious lick challenge, I don't get that, or bathroom vandalism challenge, encouraging students to post videos of themselves stealing from school or damaging school property, particularly bathrooms. Apparently, they're doing some serious damage, risking some serious legal jeopardy, including breaking doors off of stalls, sinks, off the wall, and destroying soap dispensers. This is a good way to lose all the doors on the bathroom stalls and then not having any privacy here, you know?
Yeah, well, when I was in high school, the bathrooms weren't in that great condition anyway.
True.
If I remember correct, you know, I'm thinking back at the high school bathrooms, and I went to public school my whole life. Those things are not that easy to get. I never tried to get one off the wall, but I don't think it would have been easy.
did you have one of those bathrooms with the powdered pink, the pink powdered soap there that was just awful? It was like chalk.
I think that was in the ladies' bathroom. I think the guys' bathroom was lucky to have soap.
And it was the cardboard paper towels, right? That didn't absorb.
They had dispensers. They were always empty.
That's right. Like, that's right.
Maybe back, you know, 20 years before they had actually had soap in them. But I mean, look, I am in no way advocating smoking. But look, when we were back in high school, the most egregious thing you'd hear about in a bathroom was people smoking a cigarette in the bathroom or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is a much different era, but this idea now that we're taking pictures of things that we can steal from the bathroom and taking them and then posing with them later on or posting them. I mean, I was, Teresa Payton and I did not get to this story this week, but it was kind of percolating. I've heard about what you're speaking of. It's not the first time I've heard of it, but it's obviously gaining some traction, and now there's some local examples of it, like you pointed out. But it just reinforces, man, we're living in a different era, Brett.
We are we are living in a different era, including the new era of the 500 greatest songs of all time. I looked at this list, and really what the meat of it is like 30 through 1, and really 10 through 1. I look at the 10 through 1. This is a list that Rolling Stone has now put out. They've updated it. I'll just give you the 10. Outkast, Hey Yeah, is 10 of all time. 9, Fleetwood Mac Dreams. 8, Missy Elliott, Get Your Freak On. 7, The Beatles, Strawberry Fields Forever. 6, Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. Nirvana is 5 with Smells Like Teen Spirit. Bob Dylan, Like a Rolling Stone, is 4. Sam Cooke, Change is Gonna Come, is 3. Public Enemy, Fight the Power, is 2. And Aretha Franklin, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, Respect, is number 1. No Led Zeppelin, no Journey, no Huey Lewis in the News.
Thank you.
No Motley Crue.
I don't mean thank you to Rolling Stone. I mean thank you for pointing that out.
No Van Halen. Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody is number 17 behind Beyonce and Jay-Z's Crazy in Love.
So a few thoughts here.
Sir.
First of all, 17 years is the amount of time it's been since they last did this. So back in 2004, they did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, the number one song that year was Bob Dylan, Like a Rolling Stone. So it drops 4.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with Aretha being there. I don't have a problem with most of these, although I think like Outkast and Missy Elliott and even, I don't know, the Public Enemy one, all worthy songs, but top 10 songs, I don't know. But I actually discovered something after I initially talked about this morning that really makes me just want to throw this whole thing away.
Okay.
It completely removes any credibility that this has whatsoever. Mm-hmm. At number 95, Oasis and Wonderwall.
That's such a what a transformational song. What an amazing...
You've got to be kidding.
No, I am. Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, after all, you're my Wonderwall.
I mean, the fact that it's even in the top... I don't know which hurts me more, that Huey Lewis is nowhere to be found in the 500, or that...
There's no Huey Lewis in all of the 500?
There's Carly Rae Jepsen, but there's no Huey Lewis.
You know what number 491 is?
It's not Huey Lewis.
It's Welcome to the Jungle, which is, for whatever you want to say, that's a big song.
Of course. And here's the, you know, there are, I think I read the stat this morning that 90% of these songs came before 2004. So the majority of this list is older songs. And that's not to say that, some of the newer songs they've added here aren't necessarily ones from the last 10 years. They're older songs that weren't there the first time.
Right.
But songs that were removed to make room for some of these odd songs we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Piano Man got booted out.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet Home Alabama got booted out.
Well, okay, you have to. I mean, come on.
Billie Eilish got added in.
Yes.
BTS. We could go on and on. I mean, look, they made this list. You and I are talking about it. Score. They won, right? But there are some just mind-boggling.
Here we go. I'll give one last one. 483, The Four Tops, I Can't Help Myself. 482, Lady Gaga, Bad Romance.
Yeah.
Stop it now. You know what? That's it. Can I just say this? I mean it. Rolling Stone, you're dead to me.
Well, they were dead with me. Oasis and Huey Lewis. I'm gone. I mean, you and I will never speak of this magazine again.
I mean... Wow, this is upsetting. I mean, it's. At this time, all I want to say is this. Okay, Bo, I'm gonna leave you with something positive. Today is going to be the day that they're going to throw it back to you. But now you should have somehow realized what you got to do. Don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now, Bo.
And what the hell does champagne supernova mean anyway?
Got to have a lot of champagne to get that supernova. I guess. I have. What do I know? They're English. Get them out of here. Bo Tops, have a great... What a way to end the week. Have a great weekend. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. Capitol Fence is back up. There's going to be a protest. I think it's tomorrow is the protest at the Capitol. Most people, including former President Trump, are saying, don't even bother going to this thing. What are you doing? Many people are saying, it actually feels like the recipe of a setup. You know what tomorrow is? I mean, today is? It's Constitution Day. As Mark Levin would say, I got a copy of the Constitution right here, pal. In just a matter of moments, I'll give you three things the founders would never have expected in our country. Brett, did you just imitate Mark Levin?
Sounds like a
kid. Get off my phone. Joe is up next. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Brett. I love your impersonation of Mark.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I was responding to a question that you raised 30 minutes ago about Tammy and Jim Baker and the
Yes. Why people seem to take joy at the failings and coming up short of others.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say that I know my opinion is I don't take joy at the failings of the church.
Mm-hmm.
But my question to you is, because I know you're smarter than me, is if all those people were in his church and some of them gave their life savings to him.
Oh, yeah.
And then he failed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make them less than smart?
Nah, I don't know. You know, I always have a tough time blaming victims of these sorts of things. And I'll tell you why. Here, I'll give a good analog to what it is that happened with the PTL. Remember Bernie Madoff?
Yes.
Okay. Now remember, he had a bunch of very sophisticated, very wealthy clients, sophisticated entertainment business people. Tom Hanks, I think, was one of them. Maybe Steven Spielberg lost money with this. Now those are smart people. And yeah. I think when you want to trust somebody and you want to put your faith in addition to your trust in them, you make yourself a little bit vulnerable. And I didn't blame the rich and powerful who had invested with Madoff. They got robbed, literally. These people who put their money with Jim and Tammy Faye got robbed as well. I guess to be clearer on my position, anybody who's a thief needs to go to jail. I mean, I'm anti-theft or fraud or that. But what I would say is it seems that there's a collective guilt that gets applied. So this church or this minister or this priest or this, you know, does something wrong, commits a crime, violates the trust. And now suddenly everybody in that universe of faith, you know, all the Christians are bad. They're all hypocrites. And I think that's a shame, because we're all imperfect. As I only know one perfect person that may have walked on the planet or did. And so I say, you know, you ought not spread the blame to people who are not involved in this, other than the fact that they have faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what it comes down to. I want to say, look, people that are, if you're a minister and you're ripping people off, or you're a guy who's embezzling from a bank, or you're just robbing a liquor store, you're in the same class. I mean, you're a thief.
Yeah.
And that's got to be fixed. So.
Well, hey, Brett, thank you. I love your show.
Thank you. I appreciate you being out there, Joe. You call back anytime. I mean, it's really true. I'm not a soft on crime guy. I am a second chance guy, depending on what the infraction is. But I do think there has to be a punishment for a crime. It just it should not be disproportionate, right? You don't want to execute somebody for stealing a loaf of bread. You know, you don't want to go nuts like that. But you also don't want to go the other way, which is what you have in the state of California right now, where you see people just walking into department stores or big chain outlets, you know, Macy's or whatever, and grabbing armloads of jackets and just walking out to their cars. I mean, there has to be a punishment there, for sure. All right, in a matter of minutes, I'm going to share with you on Constitution Day three things that would surprise the framers. You can probably guess the nature of what they would be, but I think this is something that's very, very much worth keeping front and center, especially in this time when we're debating so many things involving government power. Oh, it's unbelievable. It's already...
Favorite time of the day.
It can't be 5:50 already. What is going on? Oh, I had a whole lot of this other stuff. Mark Garrison, you lucky dog.
I'm a lucky dog?
You're so lucky. You get to start your show, and I have to finish mine, and... It's a Friday, and I got to go home.
Yeah, but while I'm starting mine, you're going home.
So. I am. You know why? Because it's my daughter's birthday tomorrow.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday.
The big one, nine. She's the big one, nine.
Wow.
They grow so fast, don't they? You keep feeding them, they keep growing.
They keep growing if you don't feed them.
You leave the door unlocked, they keep coming in the house. I don't know what it is. Mark Garrison, let's say we were going to have a show called Charlotte at 6.
Yes.
What would we be talking about today?
Well, we'll start with the latest on the fight between Union County Schools and the governor over what to do about kids exposed to COVID, whether to keep them in school or out. They've been negotiating this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
Also tell you what CMS is saying or not saying about a student charged with sexually assaulting a girl in the building at Olympic High School.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. How about this? $1 million worth of shoplifted items found at a house in Harrisburg.
Holy cow!
And cops say people could just come by and browse and shop.
See, this is what they do. They set up these, like, illegal shops.
Yeah. They had stuff from every big box store in the area. It was remarkable. Yeah.
I hope they paid the sales tax.
Somehow. I'm not sure that would have been top of mind. Yeah. Hey, something fun to do this weekend. How about this? You stay in a treehouse.
Okay, where?
We'll visit a farm near Charlotte where fancy treehouses have heat and air and indoor plumbing.
This I'll do.
Yeah.
I like this.
I do too.
This is like, it's like a fort for grown-ups.
Exactly.
I wonder if it has a dumbwaiter that brings me the food.
I was going to say that's called your wife, but that would not go over well.
Oh,
no.
Lordy, lordy, lordy.
6:35, good old Anna's back to take on Boomer and Josh in our weekly news quiz.
I remember, Josh, you blinked twice to me for yes. I'm supposed to do that. No, I'm not going to be able to help you, Josh. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah,
I lose when I compete. I lose.
All right. Big hour ahead.
It's just going to be great, Mark. And let me again say how happy I am that you get to do your hour coming up here. I mean, I would gladly stay another four, but I just want to thank you.
You got to go buy a birthday gift.
Right. Scratch off tickets. Scratchers. Okay. That's always the right size. Yeah. All right, my friend.
All right.
Thank you. That's Mark Garrison. Charlotte at 6. That's mandatory listening right there. It's Constitution Day. It's Constitution. Now, I'm not going to do another Levin. Don't worry. Maybe at the end of the show. It's Constitution Day, and we celebrate ideas written on parchment that have stood the test of time. But there are some things that the founders would never have expected as a result of the current climate. Number one, what do you think that is? Career politicians. According to the Congressional Research Service, in the 19th century, members of Congress came in with about 3 years of prior service. Today, it's about 9 years. And that's only on average. Half of today's congressmen have been there for 20 years or more. While he did not help draft the Constitution, Thomas Jefferson's attitude towards public service is a good example of the founder's thinking on the point. He thought we should elect persons attached to Republican government and the principles of 1776, not office hunters, but farmers whose interests were entirely agricultural. Such men are the true representatives of the great American interest and are alone to be relied on for expressing proper American sentiments. Now, he's a product of his time, obviously. The founding fathers were mostly farmers, merchants, and lawyers who needed to be close to home to make a living. But today, politics is big business. The annual salary has jumped from $6 a day back in the old days to $174,000 today. Number two, regulations. Everywhere you look, regulations. The framers would shudder at the general loss of liberty that we've accepted. These are men who loved their freedom. They'd be shocked to see how big government became. You look at this and you have to say, I totally see this. You would not want to have this level of regulation. You'd have a revolution, I think, back in 1780 and 1790 and 1810 and all that. The federal government everywhere, having endured the tyranny under King George III, the framers were wary of centralized power, to say the least. That's why they were careful to limit the national government to powers they carefully spelled out in black and white. They'd be surprised, too, that the states have never yet used their power under Article 5 to intervene to fix the problem. When the feds find loopholes in the Constitution, this is the means that we're given to close them. The states can and should fortify Washington's boundaries through this process. An Article 5 convention would be just about what it takes, I think. And this is a piece that was penned over at The Stream by Rita Peters. Rita Peters is the person who wrote this. She's a constitutional attorney and the author of Restoring America's Soul, Advancing Timeless Conservative Principles in a Wayward Culture. She also has a radio show called Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. You know, you think about this and you think about the Constitution. What always strikes me as the most fascinating part of that discussion is this. You have a Constitution where the words are written down. Where the words are written down, and they mean what they say. And the founders gave us an ability to amend that Constitution pretty much in real time. And yet we have all of these people running around thinking that, well, it's a living, breathing document. It doesn't mean what it says. It's a product of its time. It doesn't mean any of what you think it really means. So the Constitution is not to be taken literally. Okay? The Constitution is not to be taken literally, and it's not to be a static document, right? It's not supposed to be static. But in the same minds of these people, you will get from AOC and anybody else who's out there looking at taking advantage of a situation, and they will tell you that the climate is supposed to be static, it not changing. So the Constitution is written in a certain way that we're supposed to interpret it, but that's living and breathing. We can define the different parts of the Constitution how we want to for this time. But the climate around the planet, that's got to be what it was 70 years ago. The temperature's got to be the same. It can't change. We can control it. And you know what I say about that? By the way, thanks, Josh. Good working with you today. Anna and Boomer and Mark Garrison and, of course, Brett Jensen and Bo Thompson. Great to be with all of you guys today. You know what I say about the people who think that they've got these magical powers with the climate? Get off my phone, you big dope. I'm Brett Witterbull, and I'm Mark Levin. Have a great weekend.